Well, thank you, Mr. Nitzberg, and good afternoon and happy Sabbath to everyone, and again, those joining us over the webcast. Hope we're all having just a very fine and delightful Sabbath day. Well, brethren, let's say you're in a discussion with a non-church friend of yours, and the subject of the conversation turns to the discussion about God. This discussion, you know, might be at work, it might be at school, or it might be in your own backyard, talking over a fence. The subject comes up about God, about the nature of God, about, you know, what is God like? This person, this friend of yours, might be one who believes in the Trinity. And you might mention, well, you know, the Trinity is just not in the Bible. And in saying that, you know, you'd be accurate. That would be true. But they might say, well, that's correct. It's not in the Bible, at least not directly. But indirectly, it is. Well, what do you mean indirectly in the Bible? What does that mean? And they might say that in Acts 5, the Holy Spirit is referred to as God. Well, we're going to take a look at Acts 5 and see what it says and what it does not say. Does Acts 5 actually say that the Holy Spirit is called God? Is the Holy Spirit actually called God? Is that what Acts 5 is saying, or is it actually saying something else? How would you answer that person? What would your response be? And what would you say to someone like that? Well, today we're going to take a look at Acts 5, the first few verses, and we'll see what it says and what it does not say, and we'll see if it actually calls the Holy Spirit God. Let's turn to Acts, the fifth chapter. Acts, the fifth chapter, and I'll read the first 11 verses. Now, just to set the context at this point, this is a few days after the Feast of Pentecost, which was the beginning of the New Testament church. There were miracles that took place. Many traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and they saw the miracles, and they stayed. Well, they had only planned to stay for a few days, the Feast of Pentecost, but now they decided to stay longer. They ran out of food. They needed shelter. They needed food. They needed housing. So the local brethren were actually, or the local residents, were selling possessions to provide money for these people. With that context, let's start reading in chapter 5, and in verse 1. It says, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So he sold the possession for, I'll say, X. And he brought something less than X and said, we've sold our possession and we're donating this to the church, you know, all of it. But it wasn't actually all of it. He kept back part of the price for himself. As it says in verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. He died. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Verse 11, so great fear came upon all the church, and upon all who heard these things. So here we see that in verse 3, it says that Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, he said Ananias lied to God. There are some that try to equate those two and say, well, here, the Holy Spirit is called God. According to the Bible, you know, the Holy Spirit is God. It's a separate personality. But is that actually what the verses are saying? Again, what would you say to your friend if this came up in a conversation? Well, this is actually more of a logical argument than a theological statement, although obviously there's theology involved. This is a deduction from a logical argument. It's a conclusion that the Holy Spirit is called God. It doesn't really say the Holy Spirit is called God. It says the Holy Spirit, Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. Ananias lied to God. It does not directly say that the Holy Spirit is God or called God. It's a conclusion. It's a logical deduction from the two statements. Using logic, we'll see whether the conclusion is true or whether it is not true. Now, just to define logic, it's the branch of philosophy concerned with analyzing the patterns of reasoning by which a conclusion is drawn from a set of premises. The premises, you know, Ananias lied to God, Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. Conclusion, therefore, according to some, it says that the Holy Spirit is God. Well, I don't know. I think most of us remember here the character from Star Trek, Spock, you know, the Vulcan. I hope most have heard either through watching reruns or seeing him for the first time. Anyway, Spock was a very non-emotional, logical, really left-brained individual. And he always was very logical, operated by logic. He would look at a statement like this and say, that conclusion that the Holy Spirit is called God, that conclusion is not logical. Now, I'm not going to go through the theory of logic today, but I will illustrate the fallacy by using a couple of examples. Let's say there is somebody who's living out in the western part of the United States, and they want to come and visit a person at the home office. They could say, I'm going to go to the home office. Or they could say, I'm going to go to Cincinnati. Either statement is correct, and the person they'd be talking to would understand when he says going to Cincinnati, he's talking about going to the home office. Well, in a case like that, as I say, both statements are correct, but that doesn't make Cincinnati the home office, and it doesn't make the home office Cincinnati. It just doesn't work that way. Likewise, lying to the Holy Spirit and lying to God does not say that the Holy Spirit is God. Another example. There's always congressional hearings going on, seemingly continuously, and it's by either political party. Let's say that there's a hearing going on, and during the hearing, someone is giving testimony, and they lie. They give false testimony. It could be stated, as it comes out later, that the person lied to Congress. Or it could be stated that the person lied to the committee chairman. Either one, again, would be correct. Both statements are. But that doesn't make the committee chairman equal to Congress. And it also doesn't make Congress equal to the committee chairman. It's not logical. It doesn't work that way. And likewise, lying to the Holy Spirit and lying to God does not make them equal, does not call the Holy Spirit God. So here the Bible does not directly or indirectly refer to the Holy Spirit as God or as a separate personality. Quoting from our booklet, the United Church of God booklet, Is God a Trinity? Is God a Trinity? On page 64, just breaking into the context, it says, Peter in Acts 5, verses 1 to 10, which we read, said that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and that they lied to God. Again, we read that. And then the comment in our booklet said, this passage doesn't indicate that the Holy Spirit is God or one of the supposed three persons of God, as some read into this passage, but rather that the Holy Spirit, being the omnipresent agency through which God acts, is how God heard the lie. The Holy Spirit is the agency through which God acts. Well, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? Let's turn back to Luke, the first chapter. I'm going to look at just one spot where it talks about the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the subject of the Holy Spirit is a very large subject, many, many scriptures. But I'm going to just look at this one place in Luke 1, starting in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Excuse me. Dropping down to verse 30, it says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God." So here, as stated in the booklet, it's talking about the Holy Spirit being the power of God. It's the agency through which God acts. Another example I'll give, and this is from our booklet again, is God of Trinity, same page, page 64. Let's say a man's hand takes hold of a book, and raises the book. We can say, the man lifted the book. We could say that. This does not make the hand a separate person, nor does it mean the hand is the man or the man is the hand. It's the agency through which the man is acting, through which the man is raising the book. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is the agency through which God acts, as it says in our booklet. So, brethren, in summary, we've looked at Acts 5, we've seen what it says, and we've also seen what it does not say. It is not a proof that the Holy Spirit is called God or that the Holy Spirit is a separate personality. So just remember, if you're in a conversation, or if you ever hear this from time to time, someone saying that Acts 5 is a proof that of the Trinity by saying the Holy Spirit is God, think about this character from Star Trek, from Spock, and think what he would say. That is not logical.